Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dolor Industries Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Manuja. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities India Private Limited, I would like to welcome you all for Q4 and full year FY24 post-result conference call of Dolor Industries Limited. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, including Mr. Ankit Gupta, President, Marketing, and Mr. Ajay Patodia, Chief Financial Officer. Without much ado, we'll transfer the line to Mr. Ankit Gupta, and post which we can open the floor for Q&A. So please, thank you.
Thank you, Prerna. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to each one of you. Before we delve into the financial results and operational highlights of the quarter four and FY24, I want to express my gratitude to all our shareholders, analysts, and stakeholders for joining us today. Your continued interest and support are invaluable as we navigate the opportunities and challenges in our industry. I'll take you through the business and operational highlights of the quarter and the year gone by, while our CFO, Mr. Ajay Patodia, will share the financial metrics. We are delighted to announce that our company has achieved its highest-ever quarterly and annual income. These results are a testament to our unwavering commitment towards excellence, innovation, and customer satisfaction in the ever-evolving landscape of the industry. At the annual level, Dolor Industries Limited achieved remarkable growth with robust revenue numbers driven by strong demand for our products. For FY24, total income stood at 1,577 crores, increasing by 12.7% year-on-year, in line with our target revenue growth of 11%-12%. The total volume grew by over 21% in FY24, and net profit for FY24 was at 90 crores, growing by over 71.7%. We are pleased to see that the company has emerged stronger from the challenges of FY23. Raw material prices have stabilized, and high-cost inventory is no longer within the system. This is evident in the gross profit margin, which has increased by 256 basis points year-on-year to reach 32.2% in FY24. Due to early onset of ease and the continued penetration of Project Lakshya, we had a robust and promising Q4, leading to our highest-ever quarterly income. Quarterly total income stood at 502 crores, increasing by 23.2% year-on-year. The total volume grew by around 17.6% year-on-year in Q4 FY24, and net profit for the quarter grew significantly to 33 crores. The cash conversion cycle in FY24 improved to 150 days, down from 159 days in FY23, largely attributed to reduction in inventory days. This reduction in inventory days can be primarily attributed to the removal of high-value inventory from the system. In Q4 FY24, advertising expenses was rupees 22.5 crores, whereas in Q4 FY23, it was around 20.4 crores. For FY24, advertising expense was around rupees 100 crores, keeping in line with our annual target of 6%-6.5% of top line. A strong revenue outlook coupled with stable raw material prices and strong push towards premiumization will help us sustain and grow our margins. The reception of our Force Next Activewear and Women's Athleisure product during the past quarter has been extremely favorable. For the quarter gone by, Forcenet grew 32% year-on-year in value and 53% year-on-year in volume terms, which reinforces our commitment towards growth in higher margin segment. For FY24, Forcenet grew by 42% in value terms and 52% in volume terms. Missy brand grew by 10% year-on-year both in value and volume terms in Q4 FY24. In FY24, Missy brand grew by 7% in value terms and 9% in volume terms. The impressive growth observed in the Forcenet portfolio assures us that the premium segment will continue to be essential for maintaining sustained revenue and profitability growth in the future. In Q4 FY24, the premium segment portfolio, Force NXT, Force Gowe, Thermal and Pepe increased by 28% year-on-year in value terms and 52% year-on-year in volume terms. For FY24, the same segment increased by 18% in value terms and 26% in volume terms. Turning our attention to Project Lakshya, in Q4 FY24, we welcomed 10 new distributors into this initiative, increasing our total distributor count to 219 from 229 distributors we had as on March 23. We are happy to state that Project Lakshya's contribution to the company's domestic sales has grown from 18.6% to 26.3% in FY24. We are targeting Project Lakshya distributors to contribute 65-70% of our revenue by FY26. To further strengthen our reach and range, we are excited to announce that in FY24-25, company will launch Project Lakshya in 3 new states, Madhya Pradesh, Jharkhand and Himachal Pradesh. Modern trade and e-commerce sales accounted for approximately 3% of our total sales in Q4 FY24 and 4% in FY24. Our goal is to raise this figure to around 8% by FY26. Despite challenges posed by market dynamics, our strategic focus on delivering high quality products coupled with operational efficiencies has allowed us to expand our market presence. Thank you all. Now I would hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ajay Patodia, to talk about the financial metrics.
Thank you, Ankitji. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for joining the FY24 earning call. I will give a brief overview of the financial numbers for the quarter before we open for question and answers. I hope everyone would have got a chance to look at the earning presentation and the press release by now. While Ankitji already covered the macro outlook, I will try to explain in a more granular manner the financial performance of the quarter gone by. Our revenue from operation rose by 23% year-on-year to Rs. 500 crore in quarter 4 FY24 from Rs. 406 crore in quarter 4 FY23. Gross profit for quarter 4 FY24 reaches 153 crore, witnessing a strong year-on-year growth of around 53.6%. Gross profit margin for quarter 4 FY24 stood at around 30.6% against 24.5% in quarter 4 FY23, expanding by 609 basis points year-on-year. The year-on-year margin expansion is indicative of the stability in raw material prices, which had posed a significant challenge to the industry during FY24 was Rs. 506 crore, a year-on-year growth of 22.6%. Gross profit margin 32.2% against 29.6% in FY23, expanding by 250 basis points. Operating EBITDA in quarter 4 FY24 showed strong growth, increasing by 405.9% year-on-year, reaching to Rs. 7 crore. Operating EBITDA margin for the quarter expanded by 865 basis points year-on-year to 11.4% in FY24. Operating EBITDA increased by 61.5% to Rs. 159 crores in FY24. Operating EBITDA margin for the year expanded by 304 basis points to 10.1%. Profit after tax for the quarter witnessed a substantial 5,912% growth on year-on-year basis, reaching rupees 33 crores with the PAT margin at 6.6% for FY24. Profit after tax saw a 71.7% year-on-year growth, reaching to 90 crores with PAT margin at 5.7%. I would quickly run you through the brand-wise contribution for the quarter. Dollar Man Big Boss contribute around 39%. Dollar Always Regular contribute around 44%. Our thermal rainwear products contribute around 2.27%. Dollar Woman contribute about 8.17%. And our premium segment contribute 4.25%. We remain steadfast in our commitment towards our strategic priorities and growth pillars. As we pursue our long-term objective of sustainable growth and profitability, following a strong quarter and our focus on premiumization, we are confident in our ability to achieve robust revenue and profit growth, both in current financial year and in the near future. With this, we will now open the floor for the question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, can you tell me what was the like-for-like growth for Lakshya for Q4 as well as for FY24?
Sorry, Ankush, I didn't get the question.
What was the like-for-like revenue growth for Lakshya for Q4 and for FY24?
So, initially in FY23 March, we had around 229 distributors and currently we have around 290 distributors contributing around 26% of our total revenue, which was otherwise 18.3% of our total revenue. And and if we look at our distributors' sales growth, who was present in the last full fiscal year versus this fiscal year, it stands somewhere around 26 to 27% kind of a volume growth.
What would be the revenue growth, sir? What's the volume growth?
So it would be 26% of our 1575.
No, that I understood. I just wanted to understand, like, what has been the revenue growth for distributors who were there in FY23. So our overall business is grown by 13%, but for the Lakshya scheme as such, what was the growth?
So it would be somewhere around 18 to 19%.
18 to 19%, because this number was 10% as of 9 month FY24, the number that you gave me last quarter.
That was?
You said 10% in Q3 FY24 con call, that for the 9 months, the life for life growth for Lakshya project is 10% revenue.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, sir, what led to this sequential reduction in gross margins?
So overall, if you look at the figure, we have increased our gross margin from 30% to 30.3% for the whole year basis. And if you look at a quarter on quarter basis, there has been a reduction because Q2 and Q3 are mainly are the seasons where thermal product gets sold, which is a higher EBITDA product, higher gross margin product. So that is the main reason why there is some amount of reduction in the gross margin in the fourth quarter.
And like in the coming years, do you expect this gross margin to improve? Because I think in Q3 we had guided for 14 to 15% EBITDA margin. at a 500 crores revenue base. So though we have achieved the revenue, I think the margins is materially lower, primarily because of gross margins. But okay, otherwise, and lastly, in the working capital, so our working capital has increased this year, despite the fact that the contribution from Lakshya has itself has increased again this year. So again, we have not seen the benefits of Lakshya projects increasing revenue on our working capital.
So, Ankush, the thing is that overall there has been a reduction of 9 days at a company level. The data days have come down by 2 days only if you take the average of opening and closing. But if you look at it like this way, because a Q4 in our industry is always heavy, right? And in this fourth quarter, our total revenue was 502 crores vis-a-vis the total debtors which was outstanding was 482 crores. So it was almost 90 days given the revenue in Q4. But overall at a company level, yes, I agree that there has been just 2 days of reduction from 109 to 107 days. There has been a substantial reduction in inventory days, which was 108 days last year, March, like March 23 versus March 24, which is standing at 97 days.
And also, Ankush, we assure you once the contribution of the Lux project increased from 50 to 60%, then you get the effect in all total receivables also. As it is contribute only 26%, so it is not visible in the figure. But when we completed the project Lux and contributed around 50 to 60%, it got visible in the figures also.
Okay. So, like, again on this, so how confident are you that in 2 years you'll reach that 65%? Because I think in last 2 years we have gone from, say, 9% to 26%, right? So, about 15-odd% jobs. And now you're saying you'll more than double this number from, say, 26% to whatever, 60-65%. So how confident are you in that you will be able to do that?
Actually, last year we added only one state due to implementation for launch of the Lux project. Current year we already three new states included for our Lux project implementation, that is Jharkhand, MP and the Himachal Pradesh. So when you implemented the many states, then contribution transfer from the normal sales to Lux contribution. So, due to this reason, our target ki by FY26, within 2 years, we can cover 60 to 65% revenue from the Lux project.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Shah from Finovate. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
I have recently started covering this company and I was going through your previous con calls and management interviews to understand about Project Lakshya, but couldn't understand it. So what exactly are we doing with this project that is different from general trade, and how will this project help us to gain the market share?
Through this particular project, what we are trying to do is we are trying to increase the reach and range in the market. So increasing the number of retail outlets, thereby increasing the visibility of our product in the market. Secondly, also increasing the range, like the different product categories that we have, men's, women's, innerwear, athleisure, activewear, sports next, which is our premium product. So what we are trying to achieve is we are trying to take more and more of a shelf space of a retail outlet, as well as increasing the number of retail outlets who can actually keep our product and sell it. This is one thing. This particular project will also lead to a decrease in the overall working capital cycle once a substantial amount of contribution starts coming in from this particular project. So what happens in this project is we install a distributor management system, auto replenishment system at a distributor's end. So we get the visibility as to what the distributor is selling, to whom he is selling, and at what frequency he is selling. So today I have a clear data that at a particular pin code level, how many retailers are buying my product and at what frequency and which product they are keeping they are giving a repeat order of which product. So all those market intelligence are being gathered in the software itself. And this is how we create a differentiating factor as to how others also market their goods or how we also used to market our products with the general trade old model. So this is the major differentiating factor. Through auto replenishment system, we are trying to create a pull model instead of a push model, wherein the distributors' stock gets replenished on a weekly basis based on whatever he sells in the previous week. So this is how we control the channel stocks also and optimize the stock level at our warehouse.
Moreover, Amit, innerwear industry, generally in distributor segment, any distributor average retail strength is around 100 to 150 retailers. But in our Lux project, the distributor enrolled in the Lux system have an average retailer of around 200 to 300. So in this case, the distributor have a strength of reach of 300 retailers. Or in our industry, if you want to share of other brands and gain our market share, so we have to take the connect with the retailer also, because retailer in is our industry is the key milestone who change the preference of the consumer, because every retailer has his consumer base, and here we connect with the retailer, and retailer also through telecalling system, through logistic. Here we have a SOP in our project Lush that whenever retailer required, the product should be sent at their shop within 24 to 48 hours. So retailer have not to maintain the working capital, his working capital decreases. So increased amount of surplus amount of revenue he can contribute in other product also. So when retailers buying our one product, and due to surplus in working capital, he can choose more product also. So in this way, our Project Lux main motto is to make a retailer so that all the innerwear product is in their shop is related to dollar only. So this is the basic concept in this Project Lux.
Okay, sir, got it. And I have one more question. If brands like Zudio, which have a strong penetration in the economic segment through EBOs, introduce innerwear to their product portfolio at competitive price, will we face intense competition given that the majority of our revenue still comes from the economic segment?
So our overall ASP at a company level is somewhere around 65 rupees. So matching that and being a pioneer, and we have been spending in advertisement from past 20-25 years. And it has been a huge investment also. People know our brand. So I don't see them posing a major challenge. But yeah, if we talk about moving into a modern retail or a modern kind of a shop and not going to a mom and pop store, that would cause a problem for the people who goes to a modern retail for purchases rather than a mom and pop store. But overall, our industry is majorly driven through mom and pop stores and normal MBO, small retail outlets that we have. So we don't see that kind of a threat coming in.
Okay, sir. And sir, if a last question, if I can chip in. If you can throw some light on our debt position, it has almost doubled from 161 crores to 300 crores now. What's the reason for this and any guidance on finance cost for the next year?
Generally, Amitji, this working capital loan is taken for the increased requirement of the working capital for inventory purpose. We have to grow for 12%. We have to target for 500 crore inventory in quarter four. So it is taken for only for the working capital purpose, and we expect this by this year we have normalized the situation and return back around 120-125 crore position.
Okay, sir. Or also any guidance on the finance cost?
The finance cost basically around our average finance cost combination is around 7-8%. So to the company, and it is around 1% of the total revenue, at around 1% of total revenue. So once the working capital requirement be reduced through internal accrual, so we think that this is also reduced to 70-75% in the current year.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I will get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from Piccadilly Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I think in the previous calls, we had given a guidance that by FY26, we're expecting to hit about 2,000 crores top line, which seems to imply about a 15% top line growth for the next couple of years. I was just wondering whether that is still the guidance for this financial year, or would you like to revise that upwards? Are you hoping to get a 20-25% growth in top line this year?
No, this year's guidance would be somewhere around 12-13%, and for FY26 also it would be somewhere around 13-14% itself. So we'll be able to match 2,000 crores in a couple of years.
So that's the part that I'm trying to understand, why our guidance is only at 12-13%. Arguably, that is almost nominal GDP growth. And if with our project Lakshya and increasing coverage, and you know, in the places where our coverage is there, we are expecting to gain market share more aggressively, shouldn't we be hoping to get much more than 12-13%? Where is this number coming from?
See, so this year we are we don't see any upward trend coming in terms of prices. So there won't be any ASP change. Rather, some change might be there, like 2-3% change might be there because of the product mix change. But overall, increment of price is not happening much. So it would be mainly driven through the volume growth that we are seeing. And the industry has been growing at a rate of 7-8%. And what we are expecting is to grow volume by 11%, around 11%, yes.
So as per Vazir, the total growth in our industry is around 7-8%, but we aspire to grow 12-13%. You are certainly right that through Lux project we can achieve more than 15% target, but we have the conservative approach so that we commit less and given the result for more.
Got it. Understood. And I think this question was asked previously only also, but I don't think it was fully answered, which was that we had given a guidance of hitting around 14-15% EBITDA margin. And we are currently, you know, even in Q4, we would have been at about 12%. So how are we, where are we seeing that extra 3% coming from? Are we expecting gross margins to improve? Are we expecting some kind of operating leverage? But I'm not sure where that leverage will kick in from.
Basically, in our industry, we expect that 14% EBITDA margin is sustainable, and we expect that current year we have the 100 basis point gain, and next year 100 basis point gain. So we achieve the 14% margin in around FY26. The margin coming from the product mix also, because we have currently 28% contribution from the high EBITDA premiumization product, which we target to increase to 37%. And other than when your sale is increased, your fixed cost is rationalized. So our in absolute term we incurred advertisement of brand expenses of around 100 crore. That is around 6%. When your revenue increased to 2,000 crore, it is around 5%. So 1% is coming from the advertisement cost only. And like this, we have the employee cost and other costs which are rationalized when your revenue is increased. So in our industry, when increase your revenue, your cost is optimized accordingly. So according to this, we have the project that by expecting 2000 crore revenue, we have the 13% to 14% of EBITDA level margin.
Got it. So because see, I was under the impression, of course you're right, that the employee cost as well as other expenses will get subdivided into a higher revenue number, but the advertising expense you're guiding for 6% of top line, right? So if the it's almost a variable cost.
At a certain level, you don't need to spend 6.5% of your total revenue, because I think 110 crores is good enough an amount to create visibility in the market, and it's just enough like to be spent. So it's not that at a 2000 crore level we'll be spending 6.5% of 2000 crores, but it would be somewhere around 110 crores maybe.
Got it. Understood. So last question. In the last quarter conference call, you had mentioned that for Q3, your project Lakshya contribution was 29%. Can I get the same number for Q4, only for Q4?
It is around 21% in volume growth.
Not in terms of volume growth, in terms of contribution. See, I'm trying to compare the number. If in Q3 the contribution was 29%, I'm hoping that number would be higher in Q4. That's what I'm trying to check.
1 minute.
No problem.
Total contribution of project Lakshya is around 32% of the total contribution during the year in current quarter.
In current quarter, right? In Q4, 32% is project Lakshya.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So the first question is that in FY25, do we see volume growth, value growth to be ahead of volume growth?
In FY25, we expect volume growth mainly because currently the price in the raw material segment, that is yarn and cotton, is stable. And we expect more volume growth around 10 to 11% and volume growth around 2 to 3% for this year.
And gross margins, barring, the high inflation period, they have been around 34-35% historically thereabouts. So when do we go back to the historical gross margins? Would it be in FY25 or FY26?
By FY26, we have the target to achieve that 34% sustainable gross margin.
Okay, and just a quick clarification. In your presentation, at one place, when you give the revenue by gender, it shows 15% for women, while in some other slides, it is around 9% for women. So what's the correct number?
Actually, it is 15% for women. Basically, 9% is our dollar women missy segment, and 6% contribution is added in our athleisure segment. That is a part of Big Boss athleisure segment. Because we also launched the active wear in the women segment. So actually, if we take the contribution for women segment, it is around 15%. But 6% is from the athleisure and 9% from the leggings.
Got it. And would women and kids be higher margin versus the rest of your portfolio?
Yeah. You're correct. Our EBITDA level margin in women's and kids segment is more than the men's segment.
By how much approximately?
If 12 to 13% EBITDA level margin in men's segment, then there is 16 to 70% margin in women's segment and kids segment.
Got it. And only Project Lakshya. So, Can you please explain that, you know, why despite the increasing revenue contribution from Project Lakshya, we are not seeing the improvement in the working capital? Because it was expected to reduce inventory and even receivables to an extent. So why is that not playing out? Because now 26% revenues from Project Lakshya, certainly at a blended level, we should see at least some improvement on the working capital side.
Correct. You are very sure, very correct. It is concluded around 26%, and figure is our 74% is our general sales, general movement for the store. So our expectation is when we contribute around 50 to 60% of the sales from the project, like, then it is visibly in the our figures. And current year we also implement from April 24 S4HANA. In S4HANA we also implement the production planning module, and production planning module, it is integrated with our Lux project server also, where we have the data for last 3 years for every retailer requirement, every retailer buying trend. So accordingly we can optimize our production level, and accordingly our inventory days is also reduced, but it takes 1 to 2 year chance. For this, we have the target by FY26. You visit, you can see the effect of Lux project in our overall working capital, whether it is receivable or whether it is inventory.
So, as of now, for the distributors which are onboarded onto the Lakshya platform, are we seeing a reduction in inventory and receivable days already, or are we not?
Yeah, already our receivable days in Lux project is around 65 days, and inventory days is around 70 to 75 days, because in Project Lux we implement the ARS system. So inventory is required only as required by the retailer or distributor. We have set the SOP level and the economic order quantity for every distributor, which is as per their service to the number of retailers. So it is basically a scientific model to reduce the inventory at distributor level and in retailer level. So accordingly our inventory days normal is 97 days, but currently if taken at Project Lux level, distributor have the inventory of 60 to 70 days only.
So this effectively means that while the improvements in Project Lux distributors are happening on the working capital side, it's being more than offset by the worsening working capital on the general trade channel. Then that is the only possible conclusion, right?
Correct.
Okay, and you are saying that we will see this flipping, the substantial improvement in working capital, only when the contribution from Project Lux reaches that threshold of 50% revenue contribution, which happens around 50-60%, which happens hopefully by FY26. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And also in the states, you know, where you say that, you know, your Project Lux, you have empaneled distributors under Project Lux. So typically, what percentage of your distributors would have already, you know, onboarded onto this Project Lux platform? And are these, if some more color, granular color you can give, and are these distributors your large size distributors, or they are largely small size distributors where, you know, you have a higher bargaining power and the larger distributors are still not wanting to onboard the platform, you know, for whatever reasons? I mean, they don't want the data to be shared transparently or for whatsoever such kind of reasons. So can you just confirm some granular color on this, that what kind of distributors are there or not there on the platform, large, mid, small size?
So in Project Lakshya, what is happening is we select a particular state. Then we first start with the areas where we are weak, like on a district and a taluka-wise manner, right? So first we try to control that particular area by appointing new distributor or requesting the old distributor to change to this particular model. First we cover that particular area, then we touch the main feeding market where our big distributors or wholesalers are present. So like what we did in Rajasthan was Jaipur being a feeding market where almost 55-60% of our total revenue used to come from Jaipur itself in Rajasthan. So we covered the entire Rajasthan, we covered the outer area of Jaipur and then entered Jaipur and converted our big distributors into this particular project. So around 20% of our total distributors are already there in this project. So we have around 1500 distributors at a company level, out of which 290-300 distributors are already there in the project. So 20% of our distributors are covered and contributing around 26% of our total sales.
No, sir, but most of these distributors who are empaneled, are they mostly mid and small size distributors and the larger distributors more or less are still staying away from this because they have a higher bargaining power?
No, see, if we want to cover a state, if we want to complete the state, ultimately everyone has to come in. So the first right of refusal is being given to our old distributors and wholesalers. If they are okay with it, then we proceed. Otherwise, we appoint a new distributor. We don't give them any second chances. But yeah, big distributors may cause a bigger dent. So we are being cautious over there. And initially, whenever we start a particular state, there is hesitance among the distributors as to, because they have to change the entire infrastructure. The way of working is very different. And once we create 2 to 3 success stories, that the distributors gets more interested in coming into this particular project.
Also, in case of big distributor, if there is a reluctant to join our project, then we cut their total area and appoint new distributors. So after some time, when they see that their growth story of the last distributor is more than their, so they self join our project.
Got it. And lastly, I missed the guidance for margins for the current financial year, FY25. So FY26, you mentioned 14%. So what are we looking at for this financial year, FY25?
So in revenue terms, it would be somewhere around 12 to 13%. And at EBITDA level, it should be somewhere around 11.5-12% kind of a thing.
Got it. All right. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash Sonatalia from Beyond Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, audible.
So there is a notable decrease in operating cost in the recent quarter. Could you provide insights into the key factors or actions that contributed to this cost reduction and how sustainable are these measures?
Yes, regarding cotton, it is now our MD has given interview on morning in ET now, and accordingly our MD has already told that yarn and cotton market is moreover currently stable position, and currently we don't think any increase in the prices. So there is no any expectation that there is any cost increase in our model or any major changes in the cost structure.
Sir, my question is regarding operating cost. There is a notable decrease in operating cost this quarter.
Operating cost?
Other expense.
Okay. Now, other expense is around 71 crore in this quarter. 72 crores. With respect to December quarter is 57 crores. And last year 67 crores. Quarter on quarter, year on year basis.
So basically it's driven because of the higher revenue levels. So last year our revenue was 407 crores and this year our revenue is 502 crores on a consolidated basis. And that's why a lot of costs got optimized. like rent expenses,
advertisement expenses.
So last year our advertisement expenses was around 7.5%, vis-a-vis 6.5% this particular fiscal. So it's basically driven because of the revenue growth.
Basically, yes, when the revenue is increased, then fixed cost is optimized and rationalized. So, current year revenue is 500 crore with respect to last year 407 crore. But the other expenses is in absolute amount at same level only. So, you see the decrease in the other revenue, other expenses percentage.
Got it. And my second question is, like, going forward with the rampage of the Project Lakshya, are there any material or impactful changes going to happen to our EBITDA margins, like we are giving discount to retailers and incentive to retailers?
No, it will be at a similar level because even if we give some less schemes in Lakshya project, it has been compensated or taken over by the extra cost of people that we have to incur. We have to invest in the sales team, the infrastructure for the distributors, the DMS system, ARS, and the telecallers. So all those things are taken together, more or less, it's at a similar level. So no major impact would be seen.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Phailoke from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just one or two small clarifications. So this year, probably our advertising spend was close to 102 crores. Is that right? The full year?
This year was 100 crores.
100 crores.
100 crores. And we'll be ballpark in the same region in the near, say, next 2 to 3 years. You think that's kind of enough to have as a share of voice?
Somewhere between 100 to 110, we don't think it would increase more than that.
Much beyond that. Understood.
Generally, 1995 should be the an apt amount.
Got it. Understood. And just a little bit of a drill down on some of the commentary from a few participants before me. Obviously, given that Lakshya has increased and Lakshya distributors deploy or use a lot less working capital, the ex-Lakshya distributors have worsened and probably significantly in terms of their working capital requirements. Is there anything there which is a change or a departure from the way they used to work in the past? Could you just throw a little bit light on non-Lakshya distributors in terms of working capital? What have been the developments? Why has it become a little worse in the last financial year?
Pardon, can you repeat the last line?
The non-Lakshya distributors, their working capital drain on the system is obviously worse, and that's why, you know, the overall number is worse, even though there's an increased share of Lakshya. So I'm just talking about the non-Lakshya distributors. Is there some one-off there, or have they generally been on a trajectory of worsening working capital requirements, you know, larger receivable days, larger number of inventory days that need to be held against non-Lakshya distributors? What is sort of going on there that is making that group of distributors perform worse than even sort of last year?
So, Chirag, the thing is that at an inventory days level, if we compare it with the last year, March 23, we have reduced it from 108 days to 97 days currently. And debtor days have been reduced by 2 days overall. But overall, if you see the non-Lakshya distributors, it's not that they have worsened. Yeah, maybe in debtor days overall, we saw some movement happening in Q2, Q3 as well because the payments were slow in the market. But at that point of time also, we stopped their billing and we were not at all liberal with our distributors at that point of time as well. So, the debtor days is on a bit of a higher side and with the increasing contribution from Lakshya distributors, we should have seen more decrease in the overall debtor days. But it should improve in the near future.
More or less, Chirag, in Lakshya distributor, we have the DMS system and ARS system implemented at the distributor level. So we have the knowledge of total inventory with the distributor or total receivable with the retailers. We have the knowledge at our server level. But in case of non-Lux distributor, we don't have any of our distributor inventory and their retailers dues and other things. And in Lux system, we support the Lux distributor through logistic, through our salesman, exclusive salesman representative and through telecalling system, so that they get the better facility to reach the retailer more frequently. But in case of non-Lux distributor, they have the limited capacity. Basically, in mom and pop shop, distributor are proprietary firm or partnership firm. So they are only one or single or 2% there to manage the whole the business environment at distributor level. So for there, it is not possible to match the Lux distributor reach and space. And more things like in for Lux distributor, we have the SOP. For accordingly, we have always tried to Lux distributor to pitch for the recovery from the retailer on timely basis. But in case of non-Lux distributor, there is no such SOP. And as we have already in Lux distributor system, we give the minimum guarantee to 18 to 20% of ROE for our Lux distributor, so that they have to follow our SOP to gain that 18 to 20% ROE. But in non-Lux distributor, there is no such requirement. So there is the debtor days and inventory days is certainly some more than the Lux distributor.
Understood. And just to confirm, last year the closing inventory was 360 crores. This year that number is 486 crores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Is that the right number, or am I getting that wrong?
357 crores. Correct.
Understood. And where on a stabilized basis, in say FY26, when you've reached say 60-70% coverage from Lux, what is your target inventory days, target receivable days at a system level? And also just define that for us. How do you look at days? Is it on COGS or revenues?
Our target by FY26, we have reduced our working capital days to 125 to 130. And out of 125-30, we optimize our inventory at 90 days. Actually, in our industry, we have the inventory 90 to 95 days is the optimum days, and receivable days of around 65 to 75.
And inventory and receivable, both in the denominator, you look at sales. Is that the right in terms of days,
yeah,
or
right,
what
right,
is?
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much for the opening. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Harshit Mundra from Basant Maheshwari Wealth Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. So congratulations on hitting previous revenue guidance that you gave and the EBITDA margins that you gave on the previous calls. I wanted to know that on the previous calls, you had told that you are focusing more on premiumization and athleisure. So right now, the revenue contribution of premium segment is 4.5% or so. So how much are we targeting to take it to?
Our total contribution from the high EBITDA margin product is around 27% in FY24. And in high EBITDA margin product, we refer Force Next, our premium product, our thermal contribution, our women segment contribution, and our kids contribution. So currently, the total contribution of the revenue from the high EBITDA margin product is around 27%. And by FY26, we have the target to achieve by 33%. So in 27%, athleisure contribution is also included. So
okay. So the other question was, we have a target of 125 EBOs by end of FY26, and in the past 2 years after foraying into EBOs, we have launched approximately 17 EBOs, if I'm correct. So this year we were able to launch just 3, if I'm correct. So are we not getting the traction, or what is the issue? Because
see,
launching three EBOs...
Being ASP a bit low on a lower side, so it has its own challenges overall, and so we were trying to fix the problems that we faced in the last fiscal, and we are very hopeful that we'll be opening up new stores, and by FY26 we should touch around 100-120 stores.
Basically, for average ticket size of the product is around 1200 for break-even in the any EBOs. Currently, our ticket size is 700. So, we are the thinking that when we premiumize our product, our ASP is increased. So, within 2 to 3 years, we can reach to open new EBO center accordingly.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for taking the time out to join the earnings call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.